Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're celebrating today the Solemnity of Mary, the Holy Mother of God. Another beautiful day to just stop and to, with the grace and help of the Holy Spirit and the teaching of the Church, to be able to grasp the astounding work the Father has done in Our Lady, who really is the first disciple and the one who leads us and the one who teaches us how to surrender our lives fully to the Lord, to God the Father, to the Lordship of Jesus, to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. She's leading us in so many ways, and we want to honor her today. We're going to do that by continuing to be in conversation with my good friend Anthony Fiola, who is the Director of Adult Discipleship at Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor. He's been with us all week. And if you didn't have a chance to tune in the program until today, I encourage you, take some time to, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net or go to the Ave Maria app and just listen to the programs Monday through Wednesday. Anthony's done a fantastic job just bringing us deeper into this octave of Christmas and to lay hold of the graces that we're actually given. And if we lay hold of them, it'll transform our lives. And welcome back, Anthony.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, let's continue our conversation.
Well, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Yes, yes. Amen.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Yes.
Out of Luke chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful. I mean, yeah, as you just mentioned, Mary is the preeminent example of a disciple of the Lord. And St. Augustine says something like this, that not only was she mother, but she was his disciple. She who had the privilege of bearing him as mother obeyed him as master.
Yes.
And that's a summary of what St. Augustine says in one of his sermons. But I think when we look to her, you see this icon, this image of a person who said yes to the Lord, and what can happen. You know, and as we respond in faith and obedience to the Lord, like Mary did, then he starts to bring us along that path of discipleship, like what we saw in Stephen, like what we see in her and so many other disciples. And that road is a narrow road. It's a hard road, as Jesus says, but it's a road that leads to life, to new life, and it's a complete transformation of our life into his life that has come into us and flows through us now. And as part of my testimony, actually, as a revert to the Catholic faith, was the Blessed Mother and what the Word of God says about her. The Holy Spirit really used that in my life to help me not only come back into the Catholic Church to receive the sacraments, but to begin to give myself more fully to this road of discipleship. This narrow road that only those who are Christ-like fit on. I remember when I was in a stage of my life where I knew the Lord. I'd met him through the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel, through giving my life to him, as I shared in a few days ago. I knew him, and I was meeting him through the scriptures, through prayer, through this life of mission. I kept encountering him more and more. And my response to him was always, when he revealed himself to me in little ways, through the scriptures, through times of prayer, it became normal as a disciple to say yes to him. So as he revealed something to me, just give my fiat, like the Blessed Mother, say, yes, here am I. Let it be. Let it be to me according to your word, which I do think is a beautiful prayer that we can pray often, all the time. Lord, just let it be done in my life, according to your word, according to your plan. And as I came into some more apologetics around Catholic faith and eventually the rosary, because my mom had given me an old rosary when she started to see that I was getting more and more interested in the Catholic faith. And I remember I just threw it in my top drawer in my dresser. I didn't do much with it. But as I started to read these apologetics about the rosary and why the Church encourages the prayer of the rosary and all of this, I started to see just the scriptural focus of that prayer and how it was really, as Pope Paul VI puts it, an epitome of the whole gospel, a personification of the gospel, incarnation of the gospel. Up until that time in my life, though, I had only read predominantly out of the New King James Version of the Bible. And Luke chapter 1 says it a little different there than in the Catholic Bible. The Catholic Bible says, "Hail, full of grace," right, when the angel Gabriel comes. But in the New King James, it says, "Rejoice, highly favored one." So I had a little bit of a cognitive dissonance going on, like, wait, can I say it that way? Because I was so used to one way of the scriptures. But eventually I realized, okay, this is just an older translation of the scripture. And I began to pray the rosary, kind of hidden away in my room in the morning. At the time, we lived in a parsonage, which is like a Protestant church rectory in a way, for the staff of the church. We were living in staff housing.
You brought contraband into the parsonage. No.
I sure did. Yeah. And my wife would go off to practice and get things ready for the worship leading of the day, the music. And in the room, I would sit there and I started to pray the rosary. And then I'd go over and teach lessons on evangelization and all these things. But something started to happen to me when I started to pray the rosary. The Holy Spirit came upon me, just like the Annunciation, the Spirit of God came upon the Blessed Mother. And I started out just doing the whole "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus." And I'd stop there because I wasn't really ready for the whole communion of the saints and the prayer that follows. But I could just say, okay, this is the scripture, and I know it's the scripture, so I'm just going to stay there. Eventually, I became okay with the Hail Mary form of it. There was a season where I started to pray because the Lord really challenged me. He said, "Anthony, for so many years, your whole life has been based on scripture." And I prayed in tongues a lot as a part of my prayer time, and scripture in tongues. And that was kind of and I focus a lot on different themes in the scripture, like the Holy Spirit or healing or the authority of Jesus. And I would just pray through these scriptural paths that I would walk and pray. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, "Anthony, why don't you focus more on the most important parts of the life of Jesus, like the incarnation?" these are things that I believed in, but there wasn't like this systematic way of just focusing and praying. And I just gave myself to the rosary and started praying the Hail Mary. And there was this season in that time of prayer where the Holy Spirit came upon me, and just in my heart and in my mind, every bead, every time I put my finger on a bead and said the Hail Mary, I just saw this image of the Blessed Mother pregnant with Jesus. It was just like it was a womb, right? Each bead was like a womb. And as I'm thinking about this and praying about this, the Holy Spirit just starts to grow. This revelation of the incarnation starts to grow, and the implications of it in my life and the extension of it, what that would mean. And as I started going through the mysteries of Jesus, and in a very real way, it was like the Blessed Mother took me by the hand and the Holy Spirit came upon me and just started walking and pointing out, evangelizing me. "Look at Jesus. Look," because Mary's all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I remember just suddenly coming to the mysteries, looking at the Annunciation. I just felt like the Holy Spirit just drawing me into the Annunciation, saying, "Look, Anthony, the Holy Spirit wants to come. I want to come upon you." And it's like I just kept on walking and praying and come to the next one, the Visitation. There's more of the Holy Spirit for you. And then I come to the birth of the Lord, the Nativity, the Incarnation. And it was like the Holy Spirit just started to put these questions in my heart and in my mind of, if he's fully God and he's fully man, what does that mean for you? What does that mean about what about the church? What about the sacraments? What about the Eucharist? And I had, you know, at that time I was not fully in the Catholic Church. I was still in the non-Catholic context. And moving on to the Presentation and just noticing just the sensitivity of Anna and Simeon and Mary and Joseph there, that hardly anybody noticed who that was that came in the temple that day, except those that were really intimate with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit. It says that the Spirit of God directed Simeon into the temple. I mean, he went because he was led by the Spirit into there. And then only a few people notice that that was not just a baby coming in, but that that was the glory of God entering the temple. God himself just entered the temple. And all of this starts to open up to me. And we can keep going through all the mysteries. It was the same thing. It was just like the Spirit of God came upon me as I was meditating on the scriptures about these people's lives. and started to do something in me. And I can honestly say that this was one of the major parts, along with a lot of other things the Lord was doing in my life at the time, like as I was reading through the catechism, and there's a lot of things happening, but I started to visit Mass again. And then it came to that one Mass where it was, if I were to imagine it, it was like the Blessed Mother just kind of left me there and went out of the building. And I was there with Jesus on the altar as the priest was in, said the words of the consecration, and my eyes open up and I recognize this is not about Jesus, this is Jesus. And I see just through an anointing and a grace of revelation within my heart and mind, I knew that the Eucharist was Jesus. And I knew what that meant. That means leaving everything to follow him. And that's when I left my life in the non-Catholic Christian world and followed Jesus into the church. And there was plenty of testing, plenty of trial, plenty of suffering that came as I began to follow him. And in a real way, started to conform to him in the sorrowful mysteries in different ways. And but the result of it was just a deeper union with the Lord.
Yeah, you had to walk. You were walking away from something that was a huge part of your life. A lot of deep relationships, and not that you were trying to break from the relationships, but the cost was high.
Yeah, and that's discipleship. That is discipleship. There's a very high cost. It means, okay, I'm not going to do things my way anymore, or I'm not going to do things this way just because the Lord had asked me to do it this way for so long and let me do it this way for so long. All of a sudden, he says, no, this is the way up. This is the way to a higher level. It all fits with all of that, Anthony. All that you've experienced, it all fits.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to follow me and trust me.
Yeah, you know, the flesh can fight against that, obviously. Like, no, don't do that. You're going to lose all this. And try to get you to calculate on a fleshly level. That's very common in the battle. But also that the grace of the Holy Spirit, God's promise, Jesus said, I'm with you always. And he really is. And he's the leader. He's the shepherd. You're the follower. And, you know, you're the criteria he gave us, if you want to come after me, that's that discipleship phrase. You don't want to follow me. I'll become a learner. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to feed you. But you have to deny yourself. And that denial of self is that saying no to the will in us, or the intention of I'm going to remain in charge. And Jesus is going to be a part of my life, but I'm basically still in charge, you know, a different way. And then taking up the cross is willingness to die to that self that's still in charge and in the driver's seat in many different ways. And Our Lady's surrender is a beautiful model. I often think about just those three simple things. She said, it should be it done unto me according to thy word. Mm-hmm. Magnify the Lord. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and do whatever he tells you to do. Mm-hmm. Those three things are like right at the heart of discipleship, aren't they?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we can say all those things just like she said those things. And that's really, that's part of her modeling of being a disciple.
I would say adopt those statements as a part of your prayer life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just pray that way.
Yeah, she's taught us how to pray and live. So wonderful. Thank you. Wow, just 10 seconds left in the show. Thank you, Anthony, for being here. Can you be here one more day tomorrow?
Sure.
Let's finish this up. Friends, let's all together continue to walk after our Lord Jesus Christ in the model of Our Lady's witness. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.